You're listening to the Canned Air Podcast, your sidekick in the quest for knowledge, power, and entertainment. So strap yourselves in and prepare for victory!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley and I don't have Jack or Randy in the studio this week, but joining me, we have the creator of the Netflix original series, The Toys That Made Us, The Movies That Made Us, which has season 2 just a few days away from release, The Holiday Movies That Made Us coming out December 1st, and boy am I excited about that, and A Toy Store Near You, which has a season 2 coming out December 25th. Which you'll be able to check out on Amazon and Apple and many other platforms. We welcome Brian Volk-Weiss to the show. Brian, thanks so much for being here, man.
Thank you for having me, man. I'm always honored to come back.
And it's always awesome to talk with you. So much great content coming out of the company over there. Excited to talk about it all. But before we do that, I just want to remind our listeners to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you like what we're doing, head over to our website, CannedAirPodcast.com, where you can become a patron and buy some t-shirts, mugs, anything that supports the show. So again, CannedAirPodcast.com. But enough about all that stuff, man. Brian, how have you been?
I'm good, man. I want a mug. I didn't know you had mugs. How do I get a mug?
I will send you a mug. How about that?
I'm all about the mug.
You can buy anybody with a t-shirt or a mug, I promise you.
It's a quality institution if they got a mug.
Shoot me your address. We'll definitely send you one, man. But how have you been? It hasn't been too long since I talked to you. I think it was just a couple months ago. It was right before we had Gates McFadden on.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been a challenging year, to put it mildly. We're doing all right, and we got some cool stuff. I'm biased, but we got some cool stuff coming out this year, I think.
Absolutely. Based on what I've been seeing, first of all, being that trailer that's on Netflix now for the Holiday Movies That Made Us, we get to see that we're going to be seeing The Nightmare Before Christmas and Elf and exactly how they got made or maybe how they almost didn't get made. Excited to see the details there. But, you know, it was funny when I got the email for the Holiday Movies That Made Us, I was like astonished because I'm like, not only is this coming out, but it's coming out right now. And I understand, you know, the holiday seasons are upon us, but typically I feel like you'd hear about something like this, you know, 5-6 months ahead of time. So was this a very spur of the moment project? How'd it come to be?
No, not at all. I mean, it was greenlit over a year ago. We've been working on it for about 11 months. No, I mean, one of the things that Netflix does, which I think is brilliant, They're very focused on bringing the word joy to their subscribers.
Yeah.
So I think what they try to do is, you know, just have everything kind of be like magic, where it's like, you know, hey, in 3 days you'll be able to see X, instead of, you know, in 25 months you'll be able to see X, you know?
That's a good point. Like,
as much fun as it is looking forward to Game of Thrones for a year and a half back in the day, you know, I think Netflix is like, if they're talking about it, it's imminent.
Yeah, and it's just, and it is, there is a lot of good content on there, most of which I go to is yours, though. I'm not just kissing your ass, that's the truth. I was just rewatching the last season of The Toys That Made Us just the other day, and just love that show, because not only are you learning something, but, you know, you get that, I don't know, it's hard to explain, like a swell of nostalgia that just can't help but put a smile on your face. I don't know, at least that's my experience. So, and it was the same thing with The Movies That Made Us, and I'm sure will be with The Holiday Movies That Made Us. So I cannot freaking wait for that. And
I hope you dig it. We tried to bring the same humor and emotion to every episode that we have in the past.
Right. Now, you know, we have seen, again, on this trailer that Elf and Nightmare Before Christmas are going to be covered. So are these the only two films we're going to get this holiday season? Or are there more episodes that are going to make up this season?
The word season, I think, is I don't know how applicable that word is to what we're doing. but long story short, we have made 12 episodes, 10 of which are still being made. And the first two of the 12 are the holiday films.
Nice. Okay, perfect. You never know. I mean, you know, when I looked on Netflix, I think it said season one coming soon. I was like, you know, and again, I guess we're predisposed to when we hear the word season, think, oh, man, 8 to 13 episodes. But and I guess in time we will. But I'm just really, really excited about this. Also, the movies that made us, season two coming out. And can you correct me on the release date of that one? Is that also December 1st?
So, yeah, so Movies That Made Us, which is the holiday movies that made us, that's December 1st. And then the other 10 episodes are going to be divided between some releases in the middle of 21 and then some releases towards the end of 21.
So, okay, I guess I'm getting confused now, because when I was looking at certain places online, it looked like they were one and the same series. Other places make it look like they were two separated shows, but they are one and the same.
So you're confused because it's confusing. just because it was the holiday, it's the movies that made us. Every single thing we're doing is the movies that made us.
But I see. They're
giving them special titles depending on time of year.
So
basically, holiday movies that made us, technically, I guess, is season two. And then we'll have some episodes that come out mid-21. Technically, that would be season three. And then we'll have more come out at the end of 21, and that would be season four. But Netflix isn't using that naming system, so... Yeah, I don't know what season is what.
I got you. That makes sense. And I'm sorry to be so dense. You were probably one step away from having to, like, act it out with hand puppets for me.
Yeah, it's complicated.
I get it, though. I get it now. Now, this next season, a few of the movies that we're going to be looking at as well, Back to the Future, Jurassic Park, Forrest Gump. Those were a few of the things I saw in that post you had on your Instagram, that poster you guys had put together. And, you know, typically in the past when we've talked to you, the production of these shows takes you into some pretty cool places, situations, and in the presence of some amazing people. Are there any experiences you can share from the production of season two?
I mean, something that was really powerful for me, first of all, I mean, was just meeting Caroline Thompson. You know, she wrote A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, first of all, you know, I've probably done close to 1,000 interviews. I mean, she's in my top five favorite interviews I've ever done because, I mean, she was just so honest. Like, she would, like, say stuff that wasn't great about herself. She would say stuff that wasn't great about some other things. So, like, so many people that we interview are always trying to just talk about good things. So I really found her honesty so refreshing. And then we went to the house that she lived in, which was in Burbank, when she wrote the movie. And she was living with Danny Elfman at the time.
Oh, wow.
So it was just so insane, like, to see this house that you never would look at twice and, like, realize this is where, like, a lot of classic things that we love came out of this completely nondescript house in the middle of nowhere, Burbank.
And it's incredible, isn't it? You know, the creators of Superman both were in Cleveland, Ohio, you know, a few hours away from here. And whenever I've looked up, you know, the house where they created Superman, like you say, you know, you would never guess. I mean, I don't know what it should be, I guess, in my mind. But, you know, it's just a little tiny house that set off on a corner street there. Again, you'd pass it a million times and never know.
Well, you probably thought it would be, you know, look like the North Pole. That's probably why it looks a little different.
It's not made of crystals at all. All right. Well, that's cool, man. That's very cool. Another thing we're going to have to touch on really quick here, a toy store near you, which the first season was on YouTube. I don't know if that was the only place it was. Was it other places, Brian?
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime and Pluto. And
okay. I knew the second season was
like
going to be.
Everywhere but Netflix.
Everywhere but Netflix. Okay. This is an awesome show. I really thoroughly enjoyed watching the first season, you know, really giving you an in-depth look at the independent toy stores, you know, across the country and, you know, their struggle through this pandemic. So I just wonder if you could tell us anything about season two, you know, the some of the stores we might be looking at.
Yeah, we could do. We got some great toys, man. Stores. We got Super 7, you know, Brian Flynn's store up in San Francisco and San Diego. We got Farpoint Toys, which is in New Jersey. That's owned by Justin and Penelope Daniels. We got Bat Cave, which is near San Francisco. That's owned by Mike Holbrook and Amanda Barlow. Then we got the holy grail of stores that I haven't been to, Kokomo, Kokomo Toys, which is owned by Todd and Amber Jordan.
Yes.
And then last but not least, we got Bric-a-Brac, which is in one of my favorite cities in the whole country, Chicago.
I had a day trip planned with some friends to go to the Kokomo toy store a few years back. And thank God, luckily, the day we all loaded in the car to go, like right when we were taking off, somebody looked online and saw that they were closed. And that's like a 6-7 hour drive one way. So, boy, would have my face been red.
Oh, that would have sucked, dude. Yeah, I cannot tell you how many times I tried to get there and just couldn't deal. Because a lot of the time I'm in Chicago, you know, we're doing a stand-up special at night. So I got to be back at the venue by 5 o'clock.
Right.
So like I've even thought of like leaving my hotel at 3 a.m. to do it. But I still haven't gotten it done. But I will before I die. I mean, it's definitely on my bucket list.
Yeah, what an amazing store it looks like. I've taken the virtual tours online of it. I want to go that bad. It just looks like anything you can possibly think of is there.
No, it looks like that.
Have you ever been to a Big Fun toy store here in Columbus, Ohio?
No, I haven't. I was not aware. I know of that store now,
yeah.
But I was not aware of it the last time I was in Columbus. And it's funny, there's a store in Columbus that like I followed on Instagram forever. And I was in Columbus for work, actually doing season one of Toys That Made Us. And that one store, which I think is called Mike's Vintage, that store, there was like a hand-drawn sign in the window saying like, I'll be back in 2 hours. but I was not able to go back. So I sadly, of all places, have not been to a store there in Columbus.
I don't know if I know that store, but if it's the place I'm thinking of, it's out of business now. I'm going to have to research that. I could be wrong, but there was another little store down that way. Anyway, I bring up Big Fun not to be like, oh, you should feature them. Just, I know you're a toy collector, and I know when I go in there, I just, you know, I have to be pulled out of a trance because it's so freaking awesome. So next time you are in Columbus, make the time to go to Big Fun Toys.
I will. And like I said, I have heard of it.
I mean, I guess it's pretty self-explanatory after the conversation we just had. I was going to ask, you know, how do you decide what stores you're going to be featuring? But I mean, in the case of like Kokomo, it's a place that you've been, you know, wanting to check out for a long time. How'd you pick the other stores?
We basically put out, we sent an email to about 35 stores that to some degree we're already doing stuff with. And then of those 35 stores, I think 29 or 30 signed up to do the show. And then we put out a press release. And then from the press release, we got we're doing 50 episodes. So between that initial email and then the press release, that's how we got all 50 stores.
I am so envious of your everyday job, man. You must have just a blast. It couldn't even seem like work. I can't imagine. I mean, I'm sure you wear a fair amount of stress, but all the same.
Less and less every year, I'm happy to report. But yeah, you know, it's your typical job. There's good days and bad days, and you really try to focus on the good days and forget about the bad days, because if you didn't do that, you go crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't that the way with everything? All right, man. Yeah. One last question for you. It's the same question I always end with. What's new in the toy room? Last time I spoke with you, you had just acquired, what was it, the first shot of the Emperor figure's head from, 82, 83, something like that? You had acquired an Ahsoka Tano figure prototypes, maybe a couple of those, and an FX-7 droid prototype. Anything new to report on?
Yeah, man, I definitely got something new. I got after years of procrastinating and years of trying to find the right deal, I am finally, as of a week ago, the proud owner of a USF flag.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. By the way, I own it. I have it. It came in three boxes. I have not even had the courage yet to even open the first box. So, I do have it in my possession, but I have not put it together yet. And part of the reason is I got to make space.
Sure.
Obviously.
I mean, it's obviously going to be like a main focal point of the room. So when it's all together, how big is this thing?
7.5 feet long.
Holy shit.
It's the good news is I have an entire wall of shelves, and one of those shelves from one side of the room to the other is G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
So I should be able to take probably about 40% of what's on that shelf and put it on top of the flag. So in many ways, it's going to save us some room.
That's really cool. You're going to have to put pictures on your Instagram when you get that up. I got to see that.
Anything you don't have to worry about, it's seeing that. Those will be posted.
It reminds me, one of my friends I was just talking to last week was talking about Hasbro Pulse and their crowdfunding projects they put up. I don't know if you've heard of this at all. But what they'll do is they'll put up a crowdfunding fundraiser for like Jabba's barge, I think was the very first one. It's the entire barge to scale to the 3¾ figures. And I think he said he went in, $300-$400 to back it. And then you just get one. And I'm a huge, huge Marvel, comics fan. And I have a bunch of like the Marvel Legends 6-inch figures. And I learned too late, unfortunately, but I did learn that one of those crowdfunding toys was a actual 3-foot tall Sentinel to scale to all these 6-inch figures. And
yeah.
I think I need to get some enormous, enormous pieces for my room here.
Yeah, it's so funny. I just got the Razor Crest from The Mandalorian, which was also a crowdsourced Hasbro Pulse thing. But it's funny, dude. Last year, I had backed the Transformers Unicron.
Yes.
Which I think is like 4 feet in diameter. So I got it, I gave him my credit card number, I did all that stuff. Then I was at Comic-Con and I saw it and I'm like literally for the first time in the history of toys, a toy company lied about how big it was. Because this thing was not fucking 4 feet wide. This thing was right. 5 feet wide. This thing, I literally was looking at it and I'm like, and again, keep in mind, I just told you, I just bought a 7.5 foot long toy. Yeah. And I'm telling you, this Unicron was too big.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's something else. I wish I would have been in on this Hasbro Pulse stuff earlier, but it seems like you've had your thumb on the pulse too, but why shouldn't you? You've got the coolest toys, man.
Very fun.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd do with a 5-foot Unicron. I don't know. I'd have to find a way to have it hanging from the ceiling, I guess, maybe in a corner. I don't know. But, man, Brian, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Where should I be directing people to check out not only more about these shows, but more about yourself?
You know, I Instagram, you know, it's my name on Instagram, Brian Volkweis, Instagram, whatever. You know, I view Instagram as kind of like a living diary. So, you know,
yeah.
Anytime I see anything interesting or whatever, I always try and post about it.
Yeah, and I love your Instagram. It's always fun to look through there. I mean, we kind of speak the same language, I think. So, yeah, you have a cool Instagram there. And hey, no problem. I appreciate you letting us see it, man. And I want to remind our listeners to go to candairpodcast.com. You can check on past episodes, see videos, see some of our special guests, become a patron, buy some merchandise. And also find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and Instagram at Canned_Air. And I think that's probably going to do it for this episode. So, Brian, I want to thank you, man, so much for taking the time to talk with me again today, man. It's always a blast.
Same here, man. Thank you for all the support.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners for listening. And always remember to be excellent to each other.
Watch me ice skate.
Wait, come back. The ice could break.
Whoops. Help.
Quickly, walk back to the edge.
Stop, you'll break through the ice.
Snow job!
Grab this branch. You should have been listening to Canned Air.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Snow job, how'd you get your name?
G.I. Joe.
This has been a Canned Air production.
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
No. Right.